Okay, today's daf is Ayin Dalet. We're going to start at the two dots, about 10 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Shimon Omer Minchat Chotei Shel Kohanim. So according to the Mishnah Rambam, we had a list of Elum and Achot Nikmatzot V'Shiareihen LaKohen. We listed all sorts of ones there. The Minchat Kohanim of the Minchat Chotei of the Kohen wasn't listed, which means it's not Nikmat V'Shiareihen LaKohen LaKohanim. According to Tanna Kamma, we're going to see this later, or it doesn't really say it explicitly, but according to Chachamim, the whole thing gets burned, just like, if you remember, let's go back. The Minchat Chotei of a Kohen is when the Kohen does something that's Mechayev in Olevi Ored, and he can't afford it, he's really poor, he can't afford the meat, and he had the behemah, and he also can't afford the bird, so he brings a Minchat Chotei. The other kind of sacrifice a Kohen could bring is a Minchat Nedava. And we already learned that if he brings a Minchat Nedava, the entire thing gets burned. That was a unique exception, that instead of taking a Kmitza and burning the Shiraim, the whole thing gets burned. So according to Tanna Kamma, the law for the Olevi Ored of a Kohen is going to be the same as a Nedava of a Kohen, and the whole thing is going to get burned. According to Rabbi Shimon, no. It's true the whole thing gets burned here, but we want to have it somewhat similar to a regular Minchat Chotei, so we're going to have him take a Kmitza, and then burn the Kometz, and then burn the Shiraim. Okay, now there's a very big nafkamina whether you say one or the other, because if you say that you have to burn the whole thing, then it's a din of burning, like, that's the main avoda, to burn it, right? That's the haktara, which would mean what? It has to be done during the day. If you say that you just have to burn the Kometz, you say that you separate them and you burn the Kometz and you burn the Shiraim separately, then the burning of the Shiraim is no longer the central part of the Avoda, because it's just the Shiraim. And we know that the burning of the Shiraim are like the Chalavim and Evarim that can be burned at night also. So there's a very important difference between, even though in the end the whole thing gets burned, according to both opinions, there's a difference in terms of the way that you burn it and the relevance of that. Okay, now we're going to see the sources for both sides. Menahane mile. So we're starting for Rabbi Shimon Omer Minchat Chotei Shel Kohanim v'chulei. By the way, I looked up this Rashi Ketav Yad.
There's an introduction
here. It's funny. I thought that there was going to be one in the Shana Shlin, and I didn't notice it, but I didn't read it. Okay, so I don't know what it says there, but what I read up about, I actually read an interesting article from Professor Grossman, who talks about, Avram Grossman, he talks about that in general, there's, if you remember those places where it said, Kam Meit Rashi, in the middle of like a Masechet. So he claims that it can't possibly be that Rashi died there. In other words, like, it doesn't make sense that Rashi was in the middle of doing his Perush for some Masechet and in the middle of another Perush. And, so he can, again, it's a theory, we don't really know. What he claims is that a lot of Kitvei Yad of Rashi got lost. And that it could be, on the one hand, he says, people say it can't possibly be we lost Rashi's, certain Rashi somewhere, because everybody read Rashi, so it must have been very popular and everything. But then he says, based on things like this, it's clear that there were manuscripts of Rashi that got lost, and we're not always sure exactly if what we have is actually Rashi, or if what we have is actually the Perush of the Chachmei Magenza, and the people, where Rashi lived in Germany, and that maybe he claims that it could be, here's like a good example of where it's not so clear, and people mainly think that the Ketav Yad is the real Rashi, and what appears as Rashi is not the real Rashi. It's for the next four Parkim. And that this manuscript Rashi is more really the Rashi. So anyway, he claims that it's not so clear that all the Rashis we have are actually Rashi, and we've seen it in a bunch of Masechta, where instead of Rashi, there's a Pirush of Rashbam, and that there's some alternate Pirushim, and it could be that Pirush of Rashi is not the real Rashi. And when it says Kam Meit Rashi, he claims it's just that we lost and we don't have any manuscript of the actual Rashi.
And you can't tell from the style.
So that's the thing. So you a little bit. That's why, like in Pesachim, right? I don't remember if in Pesachim he claims it's not actually Rashi, but there it's a little different. I think that's exactly the theory as to why people think that it's not Rashi. Okay. Anyway, Rabbi Shimon Omer Minchat Chotei Shel Kohanim. Right, you take a kmitza and you burn each part separately. Menahane mile. So now we're going to start with Tanna Kamma. Detanu Rabbanan. Here's a braita. V'haita laKohen kimincha. Okay, this is this. Right, I actually forgot to look. Right, it's in Perikei Pasuk Gimel.
That's what they say, but they think a lot of the previous Rashi leading up to Rav Kaviyat kicks in was actually Rav Gershon.
Ah, okay. That even the ones before this weren't really Rashi. Yafeh. Okay.
But maybe.
Okay. Okay, in the middle of the Korban Olevi Yored, it says, Im lo tasig yado, right, if you can't afford that, then he brings them in Chatzolet, and he brings it to the Kohen. And then it says, at the end of that process, Bechiper alav Kohen al chatato asher chata, the Kohen provides the atonement for this person, Me'achat me'ela v'nislach lo, Vahita la Kohen kimincha. What is this line, Vahita la Kohen kimincha? So the first way of darshaning it is like this. Shetehe avodato ksherabo. That means if he needs it for himself, then vahaita lakohen kamincha. In other words, the same way he could do this for other people, he can also atone for himself. Okay, you might have thought maybe he can't atone for himself. Maybe he needs to find a different kohen to do it for him. In fact, he could do it for himself. So now they say, Atalmer shetehavodato ksherabo. Is that what you want to say this says? O eno ela lahatir minchat chotesho kohanim. Maybe it's coming to allow minchat chote shel kohanim, meaning allow it to be eaten, just like, and as a minchat chote, remember, what did we say? A nidava we know gets burned, because it says, chom minchat kohen kalil tiyeh. The question is, does that apply also to minchat kohen? So maybe it means, v'aitan lakohen kimincha, that when the kohen brings he brings a meal offering, he gets, right, the shirayim go to the kohen, just like a regular minchat chote of a regular person. And then when it says in Vayikra Perek Vav, when it talks about the minchat nidava, when it says there that it has to all be burned, that means only that the voluntary offering gets burned, but a chova can't get eaten. You might have thought that. Talmud Lamar, Vaitala Kohen Kimincha. So now they're gonna say no. Vaitala Kohen Kimincha comes to teach you Makish Chovato Linidvato. Haitala Kohen Kimincha is not like a mincha of Yisrael. It's like his own mincha of a voluntary offering, which then we're gonna say the chova is like the nidava, which would mean Ma nidvato en anechelet, av chovato en anechelet. So according to Chachamim, it means doesn't get eaten, and it's exactly the same as the other one, which means it entirely gets burned. And that's where he learns that the whole thing gets burned, without taking a kmitza out of it. Amar Rabbi Shimon, b'china emar v'aitala kohen kim minchato. It doesn't say v'aitala kohen like his own mincha. It says kim mincha, which doesn't sound like we're comparing the voluntary, the obligatory of the kohen to his own nidava. And therefore, what does he say? So he says, you have to understand the pasuk. We're comparing the mincha of the kohen to the mincha of a regular person, minchat chote, right? The one he brings, the olevi yored. Ma minchat chote shel Yisrael nikmetzet, af minchat chote shel kohanim nikmetzet. Okay, so we're going to say, how are they the same? You have to take a kmitza out of it, and we don't just burn the whole thing in its entirety. So now we're going to say, well, if it's really like a minchat chote shel Yisrael, what's the question going to be? So why don't we let him eat the shirayim, the remainder? Ima minchat chote shel Yisrael nikmetzet v'shiyareha ne'achalim, af minchat chote shel kohanim nikmetzet v'shiyareha ne'achalim. So wouldn't you have assumed that you can eat the shirayim? Talmud lomar, lakohen kemincha. As now we're going to read it like this. As regards to the kohen, it's like a mincha, but velo leishim kamincha. But it doesn't get burned in the same way that the mincha gets burned. Okay, which means haketzad. So how is this going to be? In other words, what they really want to say is it's somewhat like it, but it's not entirely like it. How so? Kometz karev batzmo b'shirayim kuevim batzmam. Okay, in other words, it's not burned in the same way because it's burned in its entirety and not that the shirayim go to the kohen. So now they're going to ask a question. Okay, that's the braita. So now what did we learn here? That, if you remember, we started off, Tanakama said, the way we know the kohen can do his own minchat chote, he can be the one to do it, is from this pasuk, right, where it says, V'chiper alav kohen al chatato asher chata, etc. Vahitala kohen kimincha, meaning he can do it on his own. So now they're going to say, ha shetehevo datok sheirabo mehacha nafka, is this really where we learn it from? Mehatam nafka, we actually learn it from a different source. Minayin lekohen sheba umakriv karbonotav b'chol eit u'v'chol sha'at sheyirtze. How do we know that a kohen can come and bring his sacrifices anytime he wants in the mikdash? Now, why is this a chidush? Because usually they had their own special week where they were working in the Beit HaMikdash. So how do you know that if you want to bring your own korban, you can go and sacrifice it? You basically can go and do your thing. So how do we know you can do this? There's a pasuk that says so. So now we're going to assume if there's a pasuk that says so, then that's already teaches us this halacha. We don't need to learn it out from the pasuk that we saw. Talmud Lamar, Uba b'chol avat nafsho v'sheret. Okay, this is a pasuk from Dvarim Yudchet, Pesukim Vav to Zayin. It says, V'chi yabo ha-levi me'echad sha'arecha, mikol Yisrael asher hu gar sham. When the Levi comes, this is one of the places in the Torah where Levi actually means Kohen, because Kohenim are all from Shevet Levi. So what happens, there's a number of references in the Torah. I saw somewhere where it said 24, I don't know, which is an interesting number because of the 24 Mishra Kuna and all that. Uba b'chol levat nafsho ela makom asher yivchar Hashem v'sheret b'shem Hashem aloka b'chol kechol achav alivim ha'omdim shav b'vnei Hashem. There you see it. He can come whenever he wants and do the avoda. So that teaches you that he could do his own thing, meaning he could come and bring his own korbanot. So if that's the case, then why do we need our original pasuk v'ita lakohen kemincha? So ime hatam, if we learned it from there, hav amina davar she'em ba'al chet. If you just learned it, that he wants to come, bring his korbanot whenever he wants, it sounds very much like voluntary offerings. But, aval davar she'ba'al chet emalo, you might have thought a sin offering, no. Because why would you think that? The havamin is that maybe in order to get atonement, you need someone else to atone for you. You can't atone for yourself. Okay, and therefore, we need the second pasuk, the first pasuk, where we started, which was in the context of the Olevi Yoreh, which was coming for a sin. So now they're going to say, wait, so fine. You need those two pasukim, but now you don't really, because there's a third pasuk, which also teaches this. Now there's about the sin. V'ha'anami mehacha nafka, you're really going to learn it from there. Mehatam nafka, it actually comes from somewhere else. Okay, this is in the context of someone who sins regarding avodah zarah. It says there, it's in Bamidbar Tevav, pasuk kafchet, B'chiper ha-kohen ala nefesh ha-shogeget b'chet'a b'shgaga. B'fnei Hashem l'chaper alav v'nislach lo. Okay, again, the kohen can atone for the nefesh ha-shogeget b'chet'a, for the person who makes a mistake in his sin. So, the nefesh ha-shogeget, right, is a little unnecessary here. So, b'shgaga melamed sha-kohenim mitkaper al yedei atzmo. So, what do they say? The extra word bishgaga, it doesn't really need to tell you that. I assume it doesn't need to tell you that because I think in the context it's already clear that that's what we're talking about. And therefore they say bishgaga comes to include that the Kohen can provide his own atonement. So now we're going to say, so why do we need our verse? Imeahu havamina hanemili bishogeg aval b'mezid lo. That comes to teach only shogeg. Aval mezid not kamashmalan. Right, so therefore, our pasuk about the Olevi Yoreh comes to teach about b'mezid. So now they want to know b'mezid hechem mishkachala. How would you be chayav a korban Olevi Yoreh in a mezid case? So they say b'zadon shvua. If you intentionally didn't do testimony, right? This is the right. If you Shama kol Allah velo yada, right? Remember that? If he hears a testimony and he doesn't testify, or, right, so the shvua here, the second is the, right, if he didn't take a shvua ha'edud, right, it's, right, that's what it is. If somebody says, we know you, im lo yagiv in asavono, remember that? If he doesn't come forward with testimony, people say, we know you know something about this. And he says, I don't. But what does he do? He swears that he doesn't know anything. So that's Zadon Shvua. If he goes intentionally and swears under oath that he doesn't know testimony, that would be a case where he'd be chayv in Olevi Yoreh, b'mezid. So we basically have three psukim. One to teach you that the Kohen can bring his own and sacrifice his own voluntary offerings, or at least we might not have known that it doesn't include things other than voluntary. That's Rach B'chalavat Nafsho. We have the pasuk about Hanefer HaShogeget. That one teaches you Shogeg and sin offering. And then ours, the Olav Yorei, teaches you Mezid, sin offering.
Right, for Mezid, you would usually need a Chatat, but only in the specific case.
Right, only in that specific case would you need a Chatat for Mezid. Usually it's not for Mezid, usually it's for Shogeg. But in the Shvuat, if you took a Shvuat under oath, then you would bring a Korban Olav Yorei.
Okay?
Tanya Idach, here's another brayta. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minchat Chotesh Shokonim Nikmetze, Vaha Komet Kare Bifnatzmo, Vashirayim Krevim Bifnatzman. So far that we know. Now we're going to learn that his son, Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, had a different bit of a different version, a different shita. So we saw, just to review, according to Chachamim, the entire thing gets burned, just like the Minchat Nedavah Kohen. According to Rabbi Shimon, everything gets burned, but you take the kmitza separately and you burn that separately and you burn the shiraim separately, which again we said would give the burning of the shiraim a different status than the burning of the whole thing. Could be done at night, for example. Now comes Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, and he says, HaKometz Karev Batzmo, Vashiraim Mitpazrin Al Beit HaDeshen. Wow, that's a whole different shita. It doesn't get given to the Kohen. It doesn't get burned on his Veach. It goes to the Beit HaDeshen. Okay, now there's a few opinions about, right, there's... If you remember, the Beit HaDeshen is, right, we're going to see which Beit HaDeshen it was, okay? There's one that's by the Mizbeach, and then there's one that's outside the city, right? Or outside, right, it's actually outside Yerushalayim. And what will we do there? Remember the Parim and Nisrafim get burnt at the Beit HaDeshen? Right, it's the place where they collect the ashes, basically. So he says, HaKometz Karei Batzmo, Asherayim Mitozrim Beit HaDeshen. Am Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba comes and says, Havi Bar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asked a question, Beit HaDeshen Dehecha. Which Beit HaDeshen are we talking about? Ilamala Hainu Avua. If it's the one that's on the Mizbeach, then there's basically a fire there, and then it's like his father. It gets burned on the Mizbeach. Idilamata, if you want to say it gets burned, in other words, their assumption is it gets burned. Okay? We're burning it on the Beit HaDeshen. So if you're going to say the Beit HaDeshen by the Mizbeach, it's basically very similar to his father. If you're going to say Dilamata, the one that's outside Yerushalayim, Yesh Lecha Davar Shekarev Lamata, does anything really get offered up there? Nothing gets offered up. Now, it's true, you burn the Prime Minister Fim, but they get burnt, they're not offered. The assumption of Rabbi Yochanan is he must mean it gets offered up on the Beit HaDeshen. So now the answer, Amarle Rabbi Abba, Dilma Li'ibud. Maybe he means that you just kind of throw it on the Beit HaDeshen for the purposes not of offering it up, but for causing it to get lost, you know, sort of getting rid of it.
Remember, they had to crumble it anyway to make it, to allow for kmitza, so it's not, it's not a whole loaf we're talking about, crumbs.
Uh-huh,
which are more
you're saying the ibud makes sense, that you could sort of just get rid of it, right? But the question is, that so far, everybody agreed they had to be offered up somehow.
Right.
Was it offered up on the Mizbeach as a separate entity, or was it offered up on the Mizbeach as its as the part of the whole entity. But the assumption at the beginning was that Rav Elazar Rav Shimon must mean it's also offered up, it's just offered up in a different place. So then they say, well, if it's in the Beit HaDeshen, that's basically the same as being on the Mizbeach. If it's in the Beit HaDeshen that's outside, we don't offer up anything out there. So they say, li'ibud. So now the response to what he says is, they laughed at him, they mocked him and said, we don't ever offer up anything for the purposes of getting rid of it. That's not why we offer up things on the Mizbeach or anywhere else. So now they say, okay, so that's basically, one second, right, so now we're going to show that there is a source for what Rabbi Abba said. Okay? That they do go li'ibud. So now we're going to see a source that says this. So how does it work? Tanei avua de Rabbi Abba. Kol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. Okay, remember we've seen this pasuk, right? That this is about the voluntary offering of the kohen. It kalil tiyeh, which I don't know if you remember this, but it doesn't actually say kalil toktar. Remember, there's different pasuk that say kalil toktar, which means the whole thing gets burned. Here it just says it's in its entirety, which we're going to learn based on the Khalil and the Khalil by Khalil Toktar and the other location where it says that, means it gets offered up and burned entirely. Okay, so that's Khalil Tiyeh, lo te'achel, it can't be eaten. So now they say, La'achila hikashtia velo ledavar acher. So now they say, right, this is, the hekesh is made here about la'achila, but not for anything else. So they say, my ka'amar, what's he talking about? So amar bai, hachi ka'amar, this is what he means. Kol menchat kohen lo te'achel, chovato, lo te'achel, he's talking about chovato. Okay? His chova cannot be eaten. Kalil tiyeh is nidvato. Okay? In other words, they're going to say that pasuk is referring both to his chova and to his nidava. So now, 1 second. Okay, wait, I have to explain a little better. When we said kol mincha kohen kalil lo te'achel la'achila hikashtia, that means hikashtia is we're comparing it to the minchat chavitin of the kohen gadol, which means that it's compared with the lo te'achel. The kol mincha kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. I just want to show you inside. 1 second, it's in vav tekvav. So here, let me read you the context here. It says, if you remember, this whole thing was in the context of the Minchat Chavitin of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, it starts with in Pasuk Gimel, Zer Korban Aaron Ubanav. They have to bring this Asirid Haifa, Machatzita Bach Boker, Machatzita Erev. Remember, half in the morning, half in the evening. Amachvah Hashem and Teasem Urbechet to Vienna. Tufeni, remember this whole drasha, Tufeni Minchat Pitim. That was all about crumbling it up, like you said. Takriv Rech Nichoach LaHashem. And then it has to be chok olam la'ashem, kalil toktar. The thing in its entirety has to be burned. Then it says, v'chol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. So the pasuk is comparing it and saying, just like the mincha chavitin, that only the kohen gadol brings, likewise, the mincha offering that the kohen, the regular kohen will bring, is also going to be the same. So now they're saying, they're comparing it for achila purposes and not for burning purposes, which shows that, right, the minchat chote of the kohen, you could say, this is the source, that it doesn't have to be burned. Because it says lo te'achel, it means it can't be eaten just like the minchat chavitin, but the entire thing doesn't have to be burned. This is different from when we darshan, kalil is kalil toktar. Okay, so that's why I wanted to point out from the beginning, doesn't say kalil toktar, it just says kalil, it's in its entirety. So they're going to, so according to this source, and this is the source for Rabbi Abba, that it doesn't get burned, it just goes libud. Then the Gemara asks, my ka'amar, how does he actually get this from the pasuk? So Abaye says, this is the way he reads it. Kol minchat kohen, lo te'achel is the chova, and kol minchat kohen is the chova, and then kalil tiyeh is talking about his nidava, because his nidava actually gets burned. Because in other words, how could you say this? We know it gets burned. So they're going to say, the chova is lo te'achel, like the chavitin, and it goes li'ibud, and the nidava gets burned in its entirety. Okay, that's how he darshens it. So now, Amar le Rava, sakina harifa mifsakai kra, is a great line. You're going to use a knife to cut the pasuk in the middle? In other words, where did you come up with this, that when it says, kol minchat kohen, first of all, notice he does what we call pasuk, it's a misuras, where we move the words from the end to the beginning. Because kol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. So what does he say? Kol minchat kohen. He skips the words kalil tiyeh, right? We'll get back to those later. And then he says lo te'achel. The lo te'achel goes on the beginning, right? You're like chopping up the pasuk with a knife. You're basically saying, okay, take this part, cut and paste, put it over there. That beginning part means don't eat, but have it go li'ibud, that's your chova. And your nidava is kalil tiyeh, which gets burned entirely. Okay, so he says, how could you possibly do that? Ela amarava, kol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh nidvato, lo te'achel chovato. Yes. Look at it like this. Kol minchat kohen kalil tiyeh, that's his nidava. Lo te'achel is coming to tell you, oh, and don't eat the chova. The ipuchana. So now they say, why don't we really switch the drasha? The kalil tiyeh, in other words, 1 second. Lo te'achel. Right. Why don't we say the reverse? Why don't we say kol mechat kohen kalil tiyeh is his chova? Maybe the chova should be burned and the neva should be liibud. That's why would right? Why does the drasha go in that direction, not the other direction? And that, this is kind of we know it goes in that direction because that's what we've been talking about. But the question is why does it right? They're asking milachat chila. Why is the drasha that way? Mistabra nidvato havale liribuye shekein tadira. Right. In other words, it makes sense. The minchat nedava is to say it's like the minchat chavitin because it's we're now we're going to have a list of things. How is it if we're going to compare one thing to the minchat chavitin and say this is exactly like the minchat chavitin that the whole thing gets burnt and this is only partially similar, so therefore it's going to have that. So this is going to be classic. We've done this a number of times where we give a list. So, number one, it's tadira. Okay, in other words, just like menchat chavitin is done every day. So the menchat nedava is much more common for kohanim to bring voluntary offerings. Now, we've seen this before. Maybe one could argue with this. But that's number one. Lo chate, there's no chet associated with it. And basim reche, it has a good smell because it's brought with the lavona and it's brought with shemen. Whereas if you remember, the menchat chote is a very simple, basic one without the shemen and without the lavona. So therefore, it's more similar to the Minchat Chavitin, and that makes sense. Nidava, okay. So then they say, as we've seen, Adrabah, Chovato Havalei L'Ribuye. What do you mean? There's a lot more similar, or there's a lot of similarities also between the Chova and the Minchat, meaning the sin offering, and the Minchat Chavitin. Why? Shekein Isaron, they both come with an Isaron, whereas the Minchat Nidava could be any amount of Isaron, it could be even up to a much larger amount. If you remember, that's what we learned. Since you, if as long as you have the amount that can be mixed in a bowl without it spilling over, it's that whole thing there. Okay, so you can have a lot. So number one, isaron and chova, it's obligatory. The minchat chavitin is obligatory, and if you do a sin, then the minchat chote becomes obligatory. So what did they answer? Hanach lefishin. No, but the similarities to nedava were more than the number of similarities to the chova. The Rabbanan, now we're going to go back to Shitat Rabbanan. Hai kol mincha kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel mai avdele. So what is, if they don't learn, Rabbanan have a different Shitat, that the mincha kohen doesn't have a kmitza associated with it. So what do they do with this? V'chol mincha kohen kalil tiyeh lo te'achel. What do they do? Why do we need this lo te'achel? In other words, it's basically, what do you need this comparison for? Mibayle l'chidetanya. Ainli Elya Elyona Bekalil Toktar. This is we've seen before. In other words, why do we have to compare it to the Mincha Chavitin? Because what do we notice by the Mincha Chavitin? It says Kalil Toktar. The Tachtona, meaning the second pasuk about the Kohen who brings his obligatory offering, it does it, or maybe Nedava offering, any Mincha Kohen, it says Kalil Tieh, but it doesn't say Toktar. But what does it say? Lo te'achel. So by one it says it has to be burned, by the other it says it can't be eaten. Tachtona b'lo te'achel. Minayin liten et ha'amor shel zeh b'zeh v'et ha'amor shel zeh b'zeh. How do we know that, number one, you can't eat, if you eat the minchat chavitin of the Kohen Gadol, even though it says it has to get burned, it doesn't say there's an isur achila. You might say you can't eat it, but there's no lo taseh. So what do they say? Ah, the lo taseh by the minchat kohen teaches you that it's also below taseh if you eat the minchat chavitin. And likewise, Talmud lomar kalil kalil l'gzera shava. Ne'amar kan kalil v'ne'amar lahalan kalil, but because both psukim have kalil, we learned this drasha before, ma lahalan b'kalil toktar, av kan b'kalil toktar. Since it says kalil, it doesn't just mean it in its entirety something, it means it in its entirety has to get burned. And ma kan liten lo taseh l'chilato, af lahalan liten lo taseh l'chilato. Okay, so likewise, we're going to learn that there's a lo taseh to eat the minchat chavitin, even though it doesn't say it in the pasuk directly, but we're going to learn it out from this gzeirah shavah. By Ravina, now that we're talking about eating something and a lo taseh associated with eating, Ravina asks another question. Kohen she'achal min ha'imurim. What if the Kohen eats from the klayot and the yoteret ha'kaveh? Those are the parts that are supposed to get burned in the mizbeach from a sacrifice. Mahu. Lav dizarut, lo kamibayile. I'm not asking about, a zar can't eat, no one can eat the imurim basically, okay? So a zar can't eat the imurim, because it's kodesh, right? It says kol zar lo yochal kodesh. And when it comes to this, the Kohen is like a Zar, because it's something that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, right? The Kohen is actually an interesting way of looking at it. The Kohen has a heter to eat only things he has a heter to eat. Anything that he's not allowed to eat is equivalent to him being a Zar, a non-Kohen, eating something he's not allowed to eat. So my question isn't about that. Obviously, he's going to have the Isur of Chol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh. We understand if the Kohen eats the parts that are supposed to be burned on the Mizbeach, the Imurim of a Korban, of course, he's going to be Chayav Alot Taseh because Chol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh. Ki Kamibayele Lav De Kalil Tiyeh. But is the Lav of Kalil Tiyeh, that whatever, right, something that has to be burned, you can't eat. So is that going to also apply to the Imurim? So Amar of Aaron the Ravina Tashma, let's learn it from here. Detanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer, Kol Shehu B'Kalil Tiyeh, Litein Lo Taseh L'Chilato. They take this pasuk, and that's why we're bringing it here. This pasuk has broader ramifications. It's not just relating to the mincha of the Kohen that he brings, and it's not just, we extended it. Now, first it started with the mincha that the Kohen brings, which was a debate. Is it only Nidavar, also Chova, right? We kind of said it applies to both. Then we're going to say, it also, from the Gzeira Shava, Kalil, Kalil, it applies also to the Menchat Chavitin. But now, according to this, it's going to even apply, because it says Kalil Tiyeh Lo Te'achel, anytime something needs to be burned on the Mizbeach, not even only in its entirety, but just parts of it are supposed to be burned, if a Kohen eats it, he gets a Lo Taseh for eating it. Okay, so then if the Kohen ate the Imurim, what would happen? He'd get two sets of Malkot, one for Kol Zar Lo Yochal Kodesh and two for Kalil Tiyeh Lo Te'achel. Okay, new Mishnah. Minchat Kohanim uMinchat Kohen Mashiach uMinchat Nesachim LeMizbeach. What's the common denominator between these three? For sure you know the first two because we just discussed them. What happens? They get entirely burned. And now you're going to see also the Minchat Nesachim, the ones that go alongside sacrifices. This is why we saw the other day people didn't always want to bring them because right, no parts got eaten. Anyway, I guess it didn't really matter. It's not like they were eating them. The Kohen would eat it. But anyway, the entire thing goes LeMizbeach. Ve'ein behen l'kohanim. Nothing goes to the Kohen. U'bezeh yafeh koch mizbeach mikoch ha'kohanim. This is a funny line. Okay, the Gemara is going to try to figure out why the Mishnah said this. And in this way, the Mizbeach has more koch than the Kohanim. In other words, the Mizbeach gets more than the Kohanim get. Like it's a game, right? Who gets more? So in these cases, the Mizbeach gets more than the Kohanim. Or gets everything. Shtei alechem, the lechem apanim, ne'echalim lekohanim, ve'ein behem lemizbeach. Now we have the reverse. We have two things that entirely go to the Kohen. Nothing goes on the Mizbeach, right? This is all different from where we started our parak of Elu nikmatzim v'shirehen l'kohanim, right? Where some of the Mizbeach, some to the Kohanim. Ve, as you can imagine, it's going to come now. Ve, u'bezeh yafeh koch ha'kohanim mikoch ha'mizbeach, right? And in these cases, we're going to have the Kohanim get more than the Mizbeach. So first, the Gemara is going to say, it's actually interesting, they're going to go with both these sections in two directions. Number one, they're going to say, are there really no other cases of this, right? Are these the only ones? And then when it says ubezeh yafeh koch mizbeach mikoch ha'kohanim, it seems to be excluding something. So on the one hand they say, are there no more? And once they say there's no more, well then what's the point? Why is it excluding something? It must be excluding something. And then they're going to have to say, well maybe there is one more, and the Mishnah is trying to tell you, no, it's not. In other words, we don't agree with that shita. Okay, so first they say v'tuleika. V'ha'ika ola. Isn't there an ola, which gets entirely burned by the Mizbeach? Wouldn't you say an Ola is an example where the Mizbeach gets everything, the Kohen gets nothing? Oh no, because you forgot. Ika Ora l'Kohanim. You remember this Hefsheth v'nituach? You take off the skin of the animal, and the hide goes to the Kohen. So that's not a good case where everything goes to the Mizbeach. V'ha'ika Ola ta'of. There's no skin. It doesn't go to the Kohen. So everything gets burned. So they say, no, also there, Ika Mora v'notza, the crop and the feathers. Now, the crop and the feathers don't actually go to the Kohen, but they get removed before the burning. So again, you have a case where the Mizbeach doesn't get everything. Now, it's true here, the Kohen doesn't get anything, but the Mizbeach doesn't get everything. So we want to find a case where the Mizbeach gets everything. Va'ika nisachim. What about the nisachim? You take a wine libation, you pour the whole thing into the Mizbeach. That would be the whole thing. So what do they say? L'shitin azle. Those go into these, remember they go through the cup and there was a hole at the bottom, right? And then it went down into this kind of chute and then it went down to these sort of chutes at the floor. So they say that is l'shitin. It's not like it gets burned on the mizbeach. It goes sort of through the mizbeach, okay? It's not the same thing. So basically, there are no other cases. So now they say, umay bezo. So then why do you have to say, in these cases, as if to exclude something? Lafuke midishmuel. It's to exclude Shmuel shita. To say, our mission doesn't agree with what Shmuel says, even though Shmuel comes after, but Shmuel, you know, his shita could have been in existence before. Damar Shmuel, hamidnadev yayin, mivio umizafo al gabe ishim. You remember we learned this? That there was a machloket when you bring the wine, if you bring a voluntary offering of wine, does that mean you want to bring the wine as a libation and you're going to pour it into those holes? Or does it mean that you burn it on the fire? So according to Shmuel, you burn it on the fire. If that's the case, that would also be a case where the Mizbeach gets everything and the Kohen gets nothing. So therefore, they wanted to tell you only in these cases is the Koach HaMizbeach, you know, stronger than the Koach HaKohanim and not with wine. Right? Kamash Valan Dilashitin Azle. What they really want to teach you in saying this is wine goes through those tunnels and it doesn't get burned. Misayele Lishmuel. This Mishnah, while it excludes one Shita of Shmuel, it actually supports another Shita of Shmuel. Tamar Shmuel, ha-mitnadev shemen komtso v'shirav ne'achalim. If you're minadev shemen, you take a komets and the shirayim get eaten. Okay, now why the difference between... Okay, so here, you're wondering why, how you do a komets with shemen. So yeah, it was actually interesting. I'll get to that in a second. But basically, the point is that when it comes to shemen, it's not one of the examples in the Mishnah. Why not? Because it supports what Shmuel says, which is Kmitza gets burned, but the rest goes are Nechalim. So now the question is, why would Shemen be different? So one explanation I saw was that Shemen is much thicker than wine, and you actually could do a Kmitza of Shemen. It's a little disgusting, but you could actually do a Kmitza of Shemen since it's thicker. And therefore, since it's thicker, so therefore you do a kmitza. Whereas the reason why the wine, according to Shmuel, gets entirely burned is because there's no way to do kmitza. Once you can't do kmitza, and we never really thought of it this way, but the whole idea is that if you could take kmitza, then we allow you part of the sacrifice. It's an interesting way of thinking. And that it's really supposed to get burned. But if you can burn part of it, maybe we never really discussed this, what's the concept of kmitza. But it sounds like it's like we talked about the other day with the Ovei Kochavim Libola Shamayim, right? His whole thing is everything gets burned. And that's not a Jewish approach. The Jewish approach is some goes to you, some goes to God, and then you can have the rest of it. But when there's no way to do that, like in the wine, because you can't, now again, you could pour a little, I guess, but the point is you need some sort of act, like a kmitza. I don't know why they came up with the kmitza being the act, but that some act where you sanctify part of it, and then you bring that, and then you're left with the rest. So this seems to imply a possible way of viewing the kmitza, that when you can't do kmitza, like in the wine, where there's no option, then you have to just burn the whole thing.
But they don't try to create a kmitza for meat, which you could arguably do. You could have them cut up all the meat, and
I assume kmitza, the meat, it's the same thing. It's just a matter when you don't have meat that you chop up or whatever it might be, so then you need something else. I think kmitza is an alternative. With the meat, there's all the, you know, in general, you cut up the pieces. You know, with the dough, I mean, you could, in theory, cut a dough, but I guess if it's a liquidy dough, you can't really cut it. So I assume the kmitza is right. But but
it's always going to have more body than even the thickest.
Well, again, the oil, no, but a dough could be more liquidy. So it could be, it can't be cut. So therefore, they do kmitza because it's not as easily cuttable. Or once you break it up into pieces, for sure, you know, you can't exactly cut it. It's not, you need some sort of act. The kmitza is like in place of separating the parts. Also, what the difference between kmitza and the meat is that the meat has designated parts that are supposed to go on the mizbeach. These are all parts where there's no distinction between different parts of the body, right? It's not like there's a body and there's parts of the body, right? With the bird and the animal, there's different parts of the body. So we say those go on, those don't. That's very easy. The whole idea of kmitza, and that's why I guess it's good you're asking because it's making me think about it more. Kmitza is when the whole thing is one unit. Wine, it's one thing of wine. Shemen, it's one thing of shemen. The dough is one dough. There's no arm, leg, you know, body parts to separate. So the question is, how do you separate it? So to do that, you have to have some act that sanctifies some part and designates it as different from the rest of it. Because really, there's no difference between any of the parts. Whereas in the animal, you could say otherwise. Okay, shtei lechem v'lechem apanim. So now again, what about these things? Entirely get eaten by the Kohen. the two lekas, they're nothing else. V'ha'ika chatat ha'of. The chatat ha'of, if you remember, goes entirely, okay, the olat ha'of gets entirely burned, and the chatat ha'of, other than the notza and the mora, we said, and the chatat ha'of gets entirely, nothing of it gets burned. So what do they answer? No, ikadama. The dam of the animal goes on the mizbech. So, of the bird. Sorry, not the animal. The dam of the bird. So there is part of it that goes on the mizbech. Va'ika log shemen shel metzora, where none of it goes on the mizbech. So they say, no, ika matnotav. You still have the placings, right, where we put it on the ear and the finger and the toe. So it doesn't go on the mizbech, but it doesn't go entirely to the kohen. Umay bizo, so then what do you have bizo in this case specifically? La fuke mimanda amar shte halechem ba'op ifne atzman. Sorry, I didn't read that right. Shte halechem ba'op ifne atzman lisrefa atyan. Kamash malan de bizo yafe koch konim leolam. There's an opinion about what happens when the shte halechem, when you don't have kfasim. Right? If you don't have kfasim, we learned this whole thing. Can you bring the shte halechem on your own or can't? So according to Rabbi Akiva, you can bring the shtei halechem b'fnei atzman. And then the question is, what happens to them? So there's an opinion that says they get burned. Okay? So this is saying, b'zo yafeh koch hakohanim la'olam, that even if you bring the shtei halechem without the kvasim, they don't get burned. Okay? This is to say, we don't agree with that shita, and they actually go entirely la'kohanim. Okay. We'll end with the next Mishnah. Now we're going to start talking about how we prepare the mincha offerings. Okay, we've talked about it before, but here we're going to see it inside in the Mishnah. Kol ha-menachot ha-nasot b'kli t'unot shlosha matnot shemen. Okay, there's three times you put the shemen, you add shemen. How does it work? It's actually very odd because they order it from the last part of the process to the first part of the process. Yitzika u'bilila u'matan shemen b'kli. So I'll do it in the reverse order. First you put the oil in the kli, then you add the solet, then in order to mix up the solet, you add shemen for mixing, that's the blila, and then when it's done, you pour the shemen on top. Okay? So now there's a debate in our Mishnah. Okay, I'll just go on one more minute and then I'll tell you the debate. But the assumption, I'll tell you the debate right now. There's a debate whether we're talking about the machvat and the marcheshet, Or are we also talking about the minchat solet? It's obvious that we're not talking about the ma'afet tanur, because you remember the ma'afet tanur, which is the chalot or the rikikim? Those, if you remember, don't get done in a kli. These are the ones that are done in a kli. But some people think it's only the machvada and the marcheshet. Like if you look in Rashi, it says, kigom minchat machvada marcheshet. But some people say it includes the solet also, the regular solet one. And there's a debate whether that needs three matnot shemen or not. Chalot, okay, now we're going to have a machlok at Rebbe and Chachamim. Chalot bolilan, okay, you add the shemen when it comes time to mixing them. The Chachamim omrim, solet. Okay, you mix it when it's solet. Okay, one second. Sorry, I didn't say this right. Okay. Right. Sorry, chalot bolilam means that when you do all these, when you add it for the bolilam part, okay, to mix it, according to Rebbe, they're already in their chalot form. They're already in their shapes when you add the oil, okay? And then you add the oil and mix it. And Chachamim say, no, you mix it when it's solet, okay? You mix it in the earlier stage, okay? There's a debate about exactly at what stage you do that. Okay, last line. Hachalot tu'unot bilila urikikin mishicha. Now that's very clear because the pasuk says it. It says ve'im. Right? What's the pasuk? Chalot matzot bilulot bashemen urikikei. Right? I forget the words. Urikikei matzot mishuchim bashemen. Okay. By one it says bolilot bashemen, and by the chalot and by the rikikim it says mishicha. So the chalot you do bilila with them. And the rikikim, you do mishicha. Remember, they're already prepared, and then after they're baked, you pour oil on top of them. Ketzad moshchan, kimin ki. We've seen this is like a chiastic structure, an X. Some people say it's like a chaf sofit. Okay, and as you do it in that kind of shape. Vashar nechalim lekohanim. And then the rest gets eaten by the kohanim. Okay, now what's the rest here? The rest of the oil. You take the oil that you have, you do the shemen, you do the mishuchim b'shemen, right? You kind of base, or you draw it on top, sort of, and then the rest gets eaten.